Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our first study of the Beatitudes, we saw that the qualifications for entrance into the kingdom of heaven are indeed strange ones. From the perspective of the natural man, these qualifications are somewhat of a puzzle. Jesus declared that the poor in spirit are blessed. Jesus stated that those who mourn are blessed. The general opinion in this world is that the rich are happy, the great are happy, the famous are happy, the beautiful are happy, the successful are happy. Jesus turned this all upside down. He taught his disciples that true blessedness cannot be found in the things of this life or the honors of this life. Rather, true blessedness is found when one realizes his spiritual poverty without God and recognizes that he is spiritually bankrupt and can only cry out for mercy to God as a spiritual beggar. True blessedness is found when a sinner returns to the Father's house empty-handed. He returns to the Father's house and seeks mercy from the Father. True blessedness is found when a sinner is emptied of self-confidence and self-righteousness. True blessedness is found when a sinner realizes that in himself he is nothing before the Lord. True blessedness can only be experienced when we mourn over our sin, when we have a godly sorrow for sin. These are the kind of people who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. These are the kind of people who receive God's comfort. These are the ones who experience fellowship and communion with the Lord God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, now this afternoon, we want to consider another related characteristic of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus makes another surprising statement in verse 5 when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This statement would have been especially surprising to the Jews of his day. For the Jews were looking for a Messiah who would come with power to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. They were looking for a Messiah who was aggressive and forceful. They were looking for a Messiah who would lead them in battle so that they could throw off the yoke of Rome and reestablish Jewish autonomy. They were anxious to wield the sword. They were eager to engage in battle. To them, meekness was not exactly a priority. Victory over Rome would not be obtained by meekness. Triumph over the enemy would not happen through meekness. Success would not be realized through meekness. They would not inherit the earth through meekness. Because the Jews failed to understand the meaning and the importance of meekness, they eventually what? Crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not fulfill their expectations of what the Messiah should be. They wanted a conquering hero. They wanted an Alexander the Great. They wanted a powerful leader who would fight for their cause. When Jesus spoke of poverty, mourning, and meekness, they came to the conclusion that he was not the deliverer they were looking for. He was not their man. He was not their man. You cannot win battles by being poor in spirit. You can't win wars by mourning. You can't reestablish Jewish autonomy through meekness. Because Jesus did not fulfill their messianic expectations, they rejected him, crucified him, condemned him. They failed to understand meekness. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon we want to ponder for a few moments the importance of meekness. First, we want to consider the meaning of meekness, and second, the blessing of meekness. The meaning of meekness and the blessing of meekness. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Blessed are the meek"? The word meek is a rather difficult word to define. Perhaps it's helpful for us to, first of all, state what meekness is not. What meekness is not. To begin with, meekness is not the opposite of courage. Meekness is not the opposite of courage. A meek person is not a person who is cowardly. A meek person is not a one who walks around with his tail between his legs. A meek person is not someone with a lack of backbone. Sometimes unbelievers mock Christians as being weak and cowardly. They disparagingly say that Christianity is a crutch for the weak. Christianity is a crutch for the helpless. They sometimes identify meekness with weakness and cowardice. That is certainly not the biblical definition of meekness. The fact is, it takes courage to be meek in an evil world. Meekness is certainly not the opposite of courage. It requires courage to be meek. Neither is meekness a spineless refusal to stand for what is right. Neither is meekness a spineless refusal to stand for what is right. It's not a lack of conviction. It is not a spirit of compromise at any price. It is not a spirit of peace at any price. It does not describe the person who agrees with anything and everything simply to avoid an argument. It does not describe the person who smooths things over to avoid division. It does not describe the person who is nice to everyone at the expense of truth. No, congregation meekness is certainly not that. Neither is meekness to be confused with false modesty. Neither is meekness to be confused with false modesty. A man has just finished building a beautiful piece of furniture and someone compliments him on his excellent craftsmanship. The man replies, "Oh, it's nothing really." But in fact, he knows that he has done good work. Or a woman has cooked an excellent meal for her guests and she has complimented on her fine cooking skills. The woman says, "Oh, it's nothing really." But in fact, she knows that she has done an excellent job. Meekness is not to be identified with false modesty. False modesty is belittling the gifts that God has given. That is not a mark of true meekness. In fact, false modesty is more an expression of pride. Well, what then is meekness? If it is not the opposite of courage, If it is not a spineless refusal to stand for what is right, and if it is not false modesty, what is it? There are a number of things that can be mentioned when defining meekness. First, a person who is meek is a person who quietly and humbly submits himself to the Lord and His Word. A person who is meek is a person who has come to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. A person who is meek is a person who has abdicated all his supposed rights. He has given up on the idea of human autonomy, and he submits himself to the authority and rule of the Lord. He has come to understand that his own will is not important, and that God's will is all important. His own desires are not important, and God's desires are all important. His own goals are not important, and God's goals are all important. The person who is meek is the person who prays, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine." He wants his life to be under God's authority and used for God's glory. He wants to submit himself entirely to the service of the Lord. He wants his life, his conduct, his words, his thoughts to be shaped by the word of the Lord. He wants to obey God's law and follow God's directions. The person who is meek is the person who says, "My pleasure, my preference, my will is not number one. Obedience to the Lord and his word is first and foremost." Meekness is the opposite of self-seeking. Instead of being self-centered, the meek person is Christ-centered and word-centered. To be meek is to deny our own will and to submit to God. Furthermore, a man who is meek is a man who quietly and humbly submits to God's providence. A person who is meek is a person who quietly and humbly submits to God's providence. The Heidelberg Catechism defines providence in this manner. It's an excellent definition. The Almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven, earth, and all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. As I mentioned this morning, the doctrine of providence reminds us that God is more than a mere spectator of human events. He upholds, directs, and governs all things that come to pass, from the greatest to the least. Nothing ever happens beyond the scope of his sovereign providential government. He makes the rain to fall, and he withholds the rain. He makes the sun to shine, and he keeps the sun from shining. He makes the crops to grow, and he withholds the growth. He brings prosperity, and he brings poverty. He gives life, and he takes life. He raises up kingdoms, and he brings them down again. Congregation, meekness. Meekness is the ability to humbly and quietly submit to God's providence. When God grants prosperity, you say, "Thank you, Lord." When God grants adversity, you say, "Lord, I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. Nevertheless, I accept it from the hand of my heavenly Father." When a business venture falls apart, you say, "Lord, I submit to your providence." When you lose your job, you say, "Lord, I submit to your providence." When your health fails, you say, "Lord, you're in control, and I submit to your sovereign providential government." When you face trials, sickness, or disappointment, you do not accuse God of being unjust, unkind, or unfaithful. You do not accuse God of being mean-spirited. Neither do you demand of God an answer to your questions. Meekness is being able to say with Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Meekness is being able to say with Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Meekness is being able to say with David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Meekness is being able to worship even when your life seems to be unraveling. Meekness is being able to get on your knees in praise in the midst of earthly sorrows. Meekness is being able to bow before the wisdom of your Maker without complaining, without murmuring, without grumbling. Meekness is being able to entrust yourself into the hands of God. Meekness is being able to say with the Apostle Paul, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Meekness is being able to say with Paul, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Meekness is being able to say with David, "Even when you are in the pit, O God, you are my God. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Meekness is humble submission to God's providence. And then, congregation, in addition to this, a person who is meek is a person who understands that he has nothing in himself of which to boast. He has nothing in himself of which to boast. A meek man is not proud of himself. He's not proud of his own greatness. He does not glory in himself. He boasts in the greatness of his God. The apostle said, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." He also said, of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. A man who is meek does not glory in himself. William Carey was the well-known missionary to India in the early 1800s. He was mightily used of the Lord. Before his death in 1834, he had translated the Bible into dozens of languages. He had founded schools and mission stations all over India. He compiled several dictionaries of various languages. He started the influential Serampore College. He served as a professor at Fort William College in Calcutta. He began a weekly publication called The Friend of India. He fought against the practice of sati, the burning of widows upon their husband's funeral pyre, and helped to abolish the practice in India. His life, his commitment, his devotion inspired tens of thousands to give themselves for the spread of the gospel. His gifts were exceptional and his devotion outstanding. And yet on his 70th birthday, Carey wrote the following words to his son Jabez, I quote, "I am this day 70 years old, a monument of divine mercy and goodness. Though on a review of my life, I find much, very much, for which I ought to be humbled in the dust. My direct and positive sins are innumerable. My negligence in the Lord's work has been great. I have not promoted his cause, nor sought his glory and honor as I ought. Notwithstanding all this, I am spared till now and am still retained in his work. I wish to be more entirely devoted to his service, more completely sanctified, and more habitually exercising all the Christian graces and bringing forth the fruits of righteousness to the praise and honor of that Savior who gave his life a sacrifice for sin." End quote. After his many years of service, more than 40 years as a missionary in India, Carey's letters all contain the same theme: his sense of unworthiness and a determination to be more entirely devoted to Christ. In another one of his letters to his son, he said this: "How little I have done for God. How little I have done for God." He did not minimize the evidence of God's blessing on his labors, but he was fully aware that he had nothing in himself of which to boast. Before he died, one of his last requests was that these words be inscribed on the stone slab which would mark his grave: "A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall." These were the words inscribed on his tombstone: "A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall." You see, congregation, the meek do not glory in themselves. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And so, first of all, the meek are those who humbly submit themselves to the Lord and his word. Second, the meek are those who humbly submit themselves to God's providence. Third, the meek are those who understand that they have nothing in themselves of which to boast. Then fourthly, the meek are also those who are self-controlled in their dealings with their fellow man. The meek are also those who are self-controlled in their dealings with their fellow man. They do not have a short fuse. They do not easily lose their temper. They do not quickly strike out at others. They are not violent, vengeful, or vehement. Rather, the meek show consideration for all men. The meek strive to be patient with all men. The meek strive to be gentle. They are not quickly or easily provoked. The Word of God gives us at least two special illustrations of meekness. If you were to select two special illustrations of meekness from the Bible, who would they be? Well, let's have a look. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. The first illustration of meekness that I wish to call your attention to is found in the man Moses. Scripture seems to indicate that in his earlier years, Moses was rather self-sufficient and self-willed. He went out and killed the Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite. It seems that in his younger years, Moses relied more upon himself than upon God. But during his 40 years in the wilderness, tending sheep, Moses' spirit was subdued by God. The Lord taught him patience and submission to the will of God. When Moses finally became the leader of God's people, the Lord had worked in him this wonderful quality of meekness. In Numbers chapter 12, a controversy arose in the church in the wilderness. Miriam and Aaron spoke against their younger brother Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now look to verse 2. Verse 2. They asked, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" Now look at verse 3 of Numbers chapter 12. "Now Moses was a very humble or very meek man, more humble, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth." Wow. Is this not a remarkable statement? Moses excelled in meekness. The statement is especially remarkable when you consider the fact that it was Moses himself who wrote these words. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses praised himself without pride. He praised himself without boasting. Brothers and sisters, now consider for a moment here the context in which these words were spoken, Numbers 12. Moses' wife was insulted and despised. Moses' authority was challenged. Under the circumstances, I think we would all understand if Moses lost his temper. We would all understand if Moses tried to vindicate himself. We would be very sympathetic if Moses lost his cool, right? But we don't see that here whatsoever. Moses allowed the Lord to be the judge. The Lord called Miriam and Aaron to meet with him at the tent of meeting. He reaffirmed to them his choice of Moses to be the leader of the nation. Then in verse 10, he pronounced a judgment on Miriam so that she became leprous, as white as snow. The judgment was terrible, terrible. And what did Moses do in response to God's wrath against Miriam? Did he say, "It serves you right"? Did he say, "You deserve it"? That should teach you a lesson. No, congregation, we read down in verse 13 that Moses interceded for her. He cried out to the Lord saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." There was no sign of anger. There was no malice. Moses humbly interceded for her sake. That is why he is called a meek man. He exercised self-control, refrained from striking out, and committed his way to God. Yes, there were times in the wilderness when Moses lost his temper. The most memorable occasion being the moment when Moses struck the rock. And yet here in Numbers 12, Moses is remembered as being very humble, very meek, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Moses was not easily provoked. Meekness was his preeminent virtue. And when Moses was punished for striking the rock, his meekness was shown in his acceptance of what God ordained. He quietly accepted the massive disappointment of not being allowed to enter the promised land. When God said, in effect, "Moses, that I may teach all generations about the consequences of sin, I'm not going to let you enter the land," Moses did not curse God in furious protest. Quietly, gently, submissively, he accepted God's decision. Dear friends, that's meekness. Meekness for a child of God means accepting without complaint what God ordains. What He sends, we accept in faith, even if it hurts, knowing that it's for our good and the good of others. Moses was self-controlled in dealing with his fellow man, and he was submissive in his response to God's will. So that's one special illustration of meekness. The second special illustration of meekness that we find in the Word of God is the meekness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 28, the Lord Jesus issued a call to sinners to come to Him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest could only be found through Him. A restless spirit could only be calmed through faith in Him. Then look at verse 29 of Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, or I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus described Himself as being meek. Meekness was one of the great characteristics of our Lord. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, when He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. The supreme example of meekness is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. His whole life was a demonstration of meekness. He suffered persecution, scorn, and ridicule. His authority was challenged. His claims were called into question. And yet our Lord remained gentle, quiet, and mild. He did not retaliate. He remained patient and long-suffering even when He was falsely accused. Yes, there were times when Jesus was bold, forceful, and confrontational and assertive. Meekness, brothers and sisters, meekness is not the absence of assertiveness, it is the absence of self-assertion. Meekness is not the absence of assertiveness, it is the absence of self-assertion. The meek person does not use his strength selfishly. He uses it for others, for the glory of God and the well-being of his neighbor. That is the meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is this characteristic that the Lord desires to see in you and in me. As Moses demonstrated the spirit of meekness, and as Jesus demonstrated the spirit of meekness, so our Lord desires to see in you the spirit of meekness. How do you treat your fellow workers when they accuse you unjustly? How do you treat your boss when he unfairly criticizes your work? Most people would say, you don't have to take that. Give him a piece of your mind. Tell him off. Put him in his place. He has no right to treat you like that. Let him have it. Give it to him with both barrels. That's the natural human response. Our daily lives are full of conflicts with people, and the natural response of the fallen human heart is to retaliate. The natural response is to punch back or to harbor resentment. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. He doesn't say blessed are those who retaliate. He doesn't say blessed are those who demand their rights. He doesn't say blessed are those who fight back. Or blessed are those who assert themselves. No, He says, blessed are the meek. Assertiveness? Yes. Self-assertiveness? No. If there was more meekness in this world, there would be far fewer conflicts. If there was more meekness in the church, there would be far fewer controversies. If there was more meekness in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships, brothers and sisters, there would be far fewer storms. A man who is meek is a man who is self-controlled in his dealings with other men. Like Moses and like the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to commit our ways to the Lord. We are to control our lips. We are to control our mouth, and we are not to be easily provoked. We are to lay aside self-assertion. We are to leave matters in the hands of God. But then I would like to add one more thought as we consider this concept of meekness, and that is this. A man who is meek is a man whose courage, conviction, and strength come from God, not from self. A man who is meek is a man whose courage, conviction, and strength come from God, not from self. Stephen demonstrated a wonderful spirit of meekness as he was being stoned to death for his faith. He loved his enemies. He prayed for his enemies. He asked the Lord to forgive those who stoned him. The spirit of Stephen was the spirit of Christ, who also prayed for his persecutors as he was being crucified. Stephen's meekness came not from self, but from God. His courage and conviction came not from self, but from above. We see the same spirit of meekness in many believers who were persecuted in the early church. Many of them were able to speak gently and lovingly to their persecutors. They were able to speak to them of Christ and his love. They were able to present them with a message of salvation in Jesus Christ. They were able to address them with respect to the salvation of their souls. There was no anger. There was no bitterness. There were no harsh words. Their meekness came not from self, but from God. We need to pray, congregation, that the Lord would grant to us that spirit of meekness. True meekness is not weakness. It is the willingness to stand patiently for what is right, regardless of the consequences. It is the willingness to stand humbly for the truth, even if it costs us our life. It is the readiness to stand patiently for righteousness, even when there is a heavy price to pay. That kind of meekness comes not from self, but from God. May God grant to each one of us that meekness. May we be those who stand humbly and faithfully for the truth by the power of God. A.W. Tozer once said, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he is, in the sight of God, of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. That is his motto. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. That is his motto." Congregation, for those who are characterized by this kind of meekness, those who humbly submit to the Lord and his word, those who humbly submit to his providence, those who boast not in themselves, but in the Lord, those who are self-controlled in their dealings with other men, those whose courage, conviction, and strength come from God. For those who are characterized by this kind of meekness, the Lord says what? "You shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That is the blessing of meekness. It seems so contradictory, doesn't it? It seems so far-fetched. It seems so unrealistic. And yet, that is what our Lord declares. Everything will be yours. Though the world may scoff at the meek now, the day is coming when the meek will be in possession of all things. Our text, Matthew 5, verse 4, is a quote from Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, David talks about how the workers of iniquity will be cut down like the grass. They will wither as the green herb. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not fret because of those who prosper, for evildoers shall be cut off. Yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. And then David goes on to say in verse 11 of Psalm 37, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. David said, don't fret about the prosperity of the wicked. Don't think that the wicked will continue to prosper. In the end, they will be cut off. They will be destroyed. They may flourish for a time, but then they are thrown down. It is the meek who are rewarded in the end. It is the meek who will inherit not merely the land of Canaan, but the earth. It is the meek who will possess not just Palestine, but all things. The meek may be trampled upon and abused in this life, but in the end, in the life to come, they shall inherit the earth. The meek may suffer now, but they will rejoice for eternity. They may be humbled now, but they will be exalted forever. The most aggressive will not end up at the top. The most self-assertive will not be king of the castle. The most powerful will not win the day. When the Lord Jesus returns in glory, the meek will inherit the new heaven and earth, the gloriously recreated universe from which every stain of sin will be removed. Congregation, I ask you this afternoon, will you share the blessings of that inheritance? The land, you might say, flowing with milk and honey, the land of abundance and peace. Will you inherit the blessings of the new creation? Will you participate in the joys of the recreated, sinless universe? That blessing is for the meek alone. For those who have humbly submitted to the Lordship of Christ, who have received forgiveness through faith in His name, who have bowed in reverential awe and love before His sovereign majesty, for those who have humbly submitted to the Lord and His word. May it be that each one of us here would know that genuine meekness, a gift of the Spirit of God. For without it, you will be cut down like the grass and wither. You will wither. You will be cut off and you will perish in your arrogant pride. You will suffer in hell forever. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Blessed. Yes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What will your inheritance be? Let us pray.